Live from E-Town Hall in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, it's E-Town with this week's musical guest. Recently transplanted from New York City to Minneapolis, Jonathan Brook, and Red House recording artist, the David Bromberg Quintet. I'm Helen Forrester. Right now, join me in welcoming our host, Nick Forrester.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to E-Town Hall. So we owe a debt of gratitude to the folky kids from New York City in the 1960s, not just because of all the music they ended up creating, which was, you know, important and great, but because of all the old music that they discovered and preserved, you know, hoping to add to the repertoire for the next jam session. They were also just discovering legends who lived among them right there in New York City. And maybe the most influential of those legends was the Reverend Gary Davis, the blind Piedmont-style finger-picking master who lived in Queens and influenced everybody from the Grateful Dead to Bob Dylan. Well, there was this skinny kid from Tarrytown, New York, who found his way down to Gary Davis, began taking lessons. He got so good that the Reverend started calling him his son. The kid went on to play on records by people like Richie Havens and Jerry Jeff Walker, Kris Kristofferson, Ringo Starr, Willie Nelson, Bob Dylan. In fact, he produced a record for Bob Dylan, co-wrote a song with George Harrison, and Dr. John called him an American musical icon. But it all started with the blues. And as you might imagine, that skinny kid is with us today. He's put out 18 records. He's toured all over the world. He even retired for 20 years in the middle to pursue his passion as a violin maker and violin dealer. But he's back to where it all began, blues, and this time he's got a record called The Blues, The Whole Blues, and Nothing But The Blues. So please welcome back to E-Town, along with his band, David Bromberg.
Thank you. Go back to 1930-something. George Little Hat Jones. Man, with a name like that, it got to be cool. Now once we was here trying to have our fun, the law jumped up and said, nobody run. And I'm long gone from Kentucky. Long gone and got away like I'm gonna leave. So keen, I'll be just like a submarine. Now my woman poked her head out from under the bed. She said, please don't let him kill me, I'm nearly half dead. Don't worry now, mama, won't be here long. Long enough to sing this lonely song. I'm gonna leave so keen, I'll be just like a submarine. Now once I knew a man, they called him Awesome Jack. He came and put the bloodhounds on my track, but them puppies couldn't catch my scent. They didn't know which way I went, cause I left so keen, I was just like a submarine. Now yonder come to Santa Fe, it passed me flying. You should have seen me when I reached up and caught the blinds. There's another long gone from Kentucky. Long gone, I got away, lucky, gonna leave so keen, just like a submarine. Oh yeah! Well, I'm gonna sing these words, ain't gonna sing no more. San Antonio, I'm not coming back no more. Thank you.
Yes, it's David Bromberg. That is such a good sound. Welcome back, David.
Oh, it's great to see you back.
I'm trying to imagine your first lessons with Reverend Gary Davis. How old were you when you started taking lessons from Reverend Gary Davis?
Maybe 18, yeah. 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there.
Do you remember those early days of going to see him?
Yeah, the first time I went to see him, he was living in the Bronx.
Yeah.
He was living in kind of a shack in between two high-rises. And then at some point, Peter, Paul, and Mary recorded his version of Samson and Delilah, and they made sure that it was copywritten in his name.
Oh, wow.
And that gave him enough money to move out to a nice little place in Queens. And
yeah.
At the end of the line, I used to go out there.
Yeah. And how long would the lessons last?
All day.
All day?
Oh, yeah. And Annie, his wife, would cook food. And
yeah.
Yeah.
How much did it cost?
$5.
Yeah.
Bring the money, honey. That's what the Reverend said.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did I first asked him, he said, $5, bring the money, honey.
And when you got to the lesson, did he ask for the money first?
No.
No.
No. And after a while, he said, I don't want to take the money. I want you to lead me, because he was blind, lead me to church and to concerts. And so I got to do that.
Oh, wow. Wow. So tell me a couple of the things that have stuck with you over the years that you learned from him.
For one thing, I play with all five fingers, including my thumb on my left hand. And I learned that from him.
Yeah.
And then he used to use these neat rolls where he'd use, it would either be thumb, finger, finger, thumb, finger, finger, or thumb, thumb, finger, thumb, thumb, finger. But maybe the best thing I learned was how much I loved to be in African-American churches and how at home the parishioners always made me feel. So after a while, I started going to other churches, and I really enjoyed the preaching, and it informed my guitar playing.
Wow.
Because if you listen to B.B. King, his tone, he said many times, is him trying to duplicate the sound of Lonnie Johnson's acoustic. His choice of notes is his own, but his phrasing is a preacher's. And my favorite blues players, they play like preachers preach. They'll find a point where they'll make you just really want to hear what comes next.
That's so cool. So there's a great quote that you include in the liner notes on your new record from Johnny Gimble, who's a famous Texas fiddler player who played with Bob Wills and many others. Do you want to share that with us?
Yeah. Johnny Gimble said, there's really only two songs, the blues and the Star Spangled Banner.
So with that in mind, how do you explain your interest in Irish music or fiddle tunes or traditional Appalachian music? And
it's soulful.
Yeah.
And if the music is not soulful, I haven't got time for it.
Yeah.
If it is soulful, I've got all the time in the world.
Well, you are out touring, playing with a band out on the road, and I know you took a breather. Are you still running the violin shop?
Oh, yeah.
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 And that's a pretty good enterprise. It's in Wilmington, Delaware.
Uh-huh.
You've been doing that for a long time now.
14 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well, just really glad you're back, and congratulations on a new record, and let's get back to some more music.
Yeah.
Welcome back, if you would, along with his band, David Bromberg.
Shirt off your back. Now why do people take your farm and your crop. Take everything that you got. And then talk behind your back. Oh, why do people act like that? Take your house, your home. Take everything that you own. They'll take the shirt off your back.
Brongberg Quintet. The record's called The Blues, The Whole Blues, and Nothing But The Blues. Mark Cosgrove, Slavik Yanishenko, Nate Grower, Josh Kanuski, David Bromberg on vocals, guitar. They'll be back. Play some more music a little later in the show.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silk.com. By the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination. On the web at bohemianfoundation.org. And by our diverse family of NPR affiliates, community stations, college and commercial stations, as well as our international stations and podcast subscribers worldwide. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. David Bromberg and his band will be back later in the show. And coming up, Jonathan Brook, a great singer who's recently moved to Minneapolis, but she's back with us after a long hiatus. Before we get back to music, though, we're going to introduce you to somebody we got to meet with the help of one of our listeners. Every week we get to introduce you to some people who are making a difference in their communities or beyond. And these are always just simple stories of folks who look around, see an opportunity to make things a little better, and they actually take that first step and do it. So we recognize them with the Achievement Award. And here comes Helen to tell you more about this week's winner.
Thank you, Nick. This week's story comes to us from longtime E-Town listener and friend Michael Eisner. He's nominating Dr. Jeff Tabin. Now, Jeff is both a physician and a world-class mountain climber. When he's in the U.S., he lives in Park City, Utah. But he spends a large amount of time in Nepal. The reason? He's the co-founder of an amazing program called the Himalayan Cataract Project. Now, back in 1983, when he was still a medical student, Jeff fell in love with Nepal while summiting Everest as part of the American Climbing Team expedition. Once he became a licensed general practitioner, he returned to Nepal to work there as a primary care physician in a small village. He originally had some ideas as to where to go from there, but not yet a plan in place. When a chance meeting with a Dutch medical team passing through the area where he worked ended up inspiring him in a way that would change his life's direction forever. And I'm thrilled to say that here with us in person to tell us more about what that chance meeting was all about and about the work he's doing now is a great guy and our winner this week, Dr. Jeff Tabin.
I Hi, Jeff. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much.
So, first of all, you live in Utah?
I am a professor at the University of Utah, John Moran Eye Center. I teach eye surgery, and I run the Himalayan Cataract Project.
Yeah. But you started out as a general practitioner, Ellen mentioned.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, I already had an idea. I want to do something in global medicine.
Yeah.
I had spent some time climbing in Asia, in Africa. I saw the disparities in healthcare and healthcare access between the poor and rich countries. And by the time I matriculated in medical school, I knew I wanted to do something in global medicine.
Yeah.
And I started doing general medicine in Nepal.
And then you had an opportunity to become more focused on this particular cause. How
did
that happen?
I was really lucky. I was working in a small hospital up in the hills of Nepal, and most of the big issues I faced were public health problems. I had children come in with diarrhea, emaciated, dehydrated. I'd give them IVs, antibiotics. They'd do better, but the same child would come back just as sick 2 weeks later. And I watched children die from things that would be so easy to care for in the West. Mm-hmm. And I was getting a little bit frustrated with what an individual doctor could do. Mm-hmm. And I was actually thinking of coming back and doing a degree in public health when I saw the miracle of cataract surgery. Now, here in America, we don't really think of cataracts as a huge problem. You know, when we have one eye surgeon for every 18,000 people in America. And when you start having a little trouble driving at night, you get your cataract fixed. Whereas worldwide, there are 18 million people who are totally blind, unable to do the tasks of daily living because of easily treatable cataracts.
Oh, wow.
I was working as a general doctor in this village in the hills of Nepal. In our little village where I was working, there were about 20 people who were totally blind.
And those are burdens to those families that they're a part of.
Enormous burdens to the family.
Yeah.
And another name for a blind person in Nepal is a mouth with no hands. And when you're in a subsistence agrarian economy, right. The difficulty for the family of a child who can't go to school or a person who's lost to the workforce because they take care of the blind person, people get depressed, they get shriveled,
right.
They wait to die. And I watched a Dutch team come in, and they did cataract surgery. It was the craziest thing. It was this miracle. People were totally blind. The next day, they saw perfectly. They went from being shriveled to all of a sudden, like a plant that's sort of shriveled. You put water, put it in the sun. They just returned to life.
Wow.
And I went, wow, this is something I could do.
Yeah.
And this was now 1989. There was no one in Nepal doing modern state-of-the-art cataract surgery. And I thought, this is a place we could really make a difference.
Yeah.
And I came back to the States, and I was very fortunate to get a great ophthalmology training position. And I trained as an eye surgeon. And then returned to Nepal.
Wow.
Most of what we do and most of my program, Nick, is really teaching and training and empowering the local doctors, nurses, technicians, and setting up the system so local people can do the work.
Wow.
But I still get such a thrill out of taking the patches off. If you actually go to our website, cureblindness.org, we have videos of what it's like when people see their grandchildren for the first time, their children from the first time.
Amazing. And it sounds like when you're talking about training people locally to do the work, you make it sound like it's not eye surgery, but it really is eye surgery. I mean, it sounds like...
Well, it is, but it's a whole system.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm very fortunate. I have a partner who I think is probably the greatest genius I've ever met.
Wow.
His name is Sandok Ruit. Hmm. And it was just serendipity for me. I kind of fell in with Dr. Rui at the right place in the right time.
Wow, that's wild.
When I started, there was a backlog of 250,000 people totally blind with cataracts in Nepal, Nepali doctors doing less than 10,000 surgeries a year, and 60,000 new people going blind.
So
now Nepali surgeons are doing 300,000 surgeries a year.
Oh, wow.
The quality is the same as what you'd have here in Boulder.
Wow.
So we've expanded from Nepal into Bhutan, into Tibet, and now the place of the greatest crisis is Africa.
Wow.
And I'm working mainly in Ethiopia and Ghana. And I'm spending about 5 months of the year working overseas
yeah.
now.
And how does it work for the patients? Is there a fee for the service when you go out there?
Well, in Nepal, we're now fully self-sustaining through cost recovery. We have about a third of the patients pay full fee, and another about 20% pay partial, and the rest of the patients get free surgery mm-hmm. based on cost recovery. It's kind of a compassionate capitalism that we're able to provide free surgery for the poorest of the poor. Mm-hmm. We're able to pay our doctors well, our nurses well, our technicians well, our people who clean up the room afterwards well, and provide about 50% completely free surgery.
Wow.
And in Ethiopia and Africa now, we still haven't quite reached that level of sustainability, mm-hmm. but that's what the goal is.
But it's people aren't turned away, it sounds like.
No one's turned away.
Yeah.
And I might add that at the University of Utah, I can't bring in a cataract surgery for less than $3,000. Our cost is $25.
That's wild. And how many surgeries have been done so far, do you think, as a result of your efforts?
As a result of the people we've trained and what we've done directly, around 2.5 million people.
2.5 million people. That's incredible.
And I should add that my partner, Dr. Ruit himself, has done over 140,000 cataract surgeries.
Wow. Tell me, are you still climbing?
I like to.
Somebody told me that you were like the fourth person to climb the highest peak in all seven continents.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wow. And I also understand you're a bit of a David Bromberg fan.
Huge David Bromberg fan.
Yeah. Do you play music too?
I try. I'm a much better eye surgeon than musician, but I spent quite a bit of time in my room playing the harmonica along with David Bromberg and B.B. King records.
All right.
And
well,
Junior Wells. And
maybe we'll see what happens later on in the show. You never know. Meanwhile, tell us the name of the project again.
It's the Himalayan Cataract Project.
And there's a website.
Our website is www.cureblindness.org.
Cureblindness.org.
Go to the website. You'll be able to see some videos we recently took from Ethiopia of what it's like for someone who hasn't seen in 20 years to have the patches come off and see for the first time.
I can only imagine. Jeff, what an amazing story, what amazing work you've chosen to do with your life. We really appreciate you coming and sharing your story with us. We've got a Framed Achievement Award certificate for you, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's really a great, great honor to be here.
Thank you. Jeff Tabin, the winner of the Achievement Award this week, mountain climber, eye surgeon, cureblindness.org.
Wow, what a story. Now, if you just tuned in and you missed part of this interview, you can find it on our website, etown.org. If you want to find out how to support Jeff's work, or if you'd like to nominate someone doing great work to better the lives of others or the planet in some way, you can do that on our website as well by heading to our homepage and clicking on the word award at the far right of the top menu. You can learn what we look for and submit your nomination there. Or you can always write us the old-fashioned way at Box 954, Boulder, Colorado, 80306.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Michael, for the nomination. What an amazing story. We've got some more music coming up from David Bromberg and his band in just a little while. Right now, I'm going to tell you about our next guest. Jonathan Brooke has been writing songs and telling stories and singing since she was a kid. But she got serious about it in college in Western Massachusetts. That led to a partnership with Jennifer Kimball in a band called The Story, and then a whole career as a solo artist after that. She's released 10 albums under her own name. And just generally, she's been a very creative chronicler of her own experiences, including the very poignant and funny tales of her time with her mother as her mother was dying from cancer and suffering from dementia. And those experiences led her to writing a one-woman play called My Mother Has Four Noses. We haven't seen her here in just about 20 years, so we're really happy to have her back. Please welcome back to E-Town the very talented Jonathan Brooke.
Thank you. This is a song from my new record. It's called Put the Gun Down. Put the gun down and come talk to me. You got a lot of nerve. You're bitching about your freedom. You say you had it rough. Everybody got their cross. And so you bear it. Your prophet, you tally your lures, and then you carry on, carry on, carry on. You carry on, carry on, carry on. 'Cause nobody done you wrong, so you carry on, and you put the gun down. Was your daddy mean? Your mama couldn't be saved. No one keeping you clean. Or is it just attention that you crave? So put the gun down. Nobody has to lose. You got no. Accept forgiveness, so you better choose. When you carry on, carry on, carry on. You carry on, carry on, carry on. 'Cause nobody done you wrong. Well, it's Tuesday, or you could make it to Wednesday. Thursday, you might feel the sun. Friday knows nothing about Saturday. Sunday don't need no gun. So don't aim, don't swing. Nobody has to bleed. And no final aid ain't gonna sing. And you may never get what you need. So you carry on. Thank you very much. So Nick is going to help me on this one. Lost without you here, desperate when you're far. Nothing even matters. I'm not where you are. It's too much happiness, my love, true. Too much happiness, too much happiness. Too little time with you. I swear my heart explodes each time that you're near. Still weaken the knees when you whisper that you're here. Too much happiness, my love, too. Too much happiness, too much happiness, and too little time. You say don't worry, you say don't fret, but I say I can't get enough of you yet.
too short for this much love. So I swear it on the stars. I'll be here forever, wherever you are. It's too much happiness. It's breaking my heart. It's too much happiness right from the start. Too much happiness. Too much happiness. Too much happiness. And too little time. Too little time with you.
Thank you, Nick Forster.
Jonathan Brook, so good to have you back. I don't know what the heck took us so long to figure this out.
Where have I been?
I don't know. You were busy doing things, being creative.
I'm so happy I'm here now, though. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're back. So I want to talk about your new record, Midnight Hallelujah. First, tell us a little bit about the images on the cover of your record. It looks like a flooded home. I can't tell whether it's New Orleans or what's that all about?
Yeah, the front and back cover of the new record are photos from New Orleans, from post-Katrina devastation. I saw this photo journal about 10 years ago, I guess, and I was so struck by the devastation of this house. I mean, the piano's on its side. There's mold everywhere. You can see the water line halfway up the side of the walls.
Wow. And Midnight Hallelujah is also kind of sounds both ominous and joyous.
Yeah, I like to kind of mix it up. I think that I live for that balance of dark and light and the way they coexist. It's like the play I wrote about me and my mother. There's this amazing tragedy, but at the same time, this ridiculous comedy. And I live for that. And I live for trying to get that into a chorus and a verse, you know.
Speaking of which, so the play is called My Mother Has Four Noses.
Yeah.
And you were your mother's companion and caretaker and muse and foil.
Yeah.
And did she encourage you to write everything down?
She did.
Yeah.
My mother was a writer. She was a poet. She also was a clown. She went to clown school when I was in seventh grade and came home in full makeup, polka-dotted suit, bowler hat, and a wig, and told us we could call her Stoney the Clown. Stone was her maiden name. So, of course, seventh grade, I was just mortified. It was probably the worst thing you could do to your daughter.
No, you can't come over for a sleepover.
Mom's doing that clown thing again. Damn. I mean, the irony, obviously, is that she ended up having dementia, and she did have four noses. My mother had skin cancer that basically did a number on her face. So she ended up with these four prosthetic noses, which as she got more and more into the throes of Alzheimer's became great fodder for the daily humor. Mom would always love to make us laugh. And even when she couldn't find the words she was looking for, she would just make stuff up like, you might be refrigerated for other expectations. And then I would be cracking up and she'd be like, well, Bully, my nickname, are you getting this down? This is really good stuff. Now we need to make a play out of it.
And what was the ratio of times where you were actually thought something was funny as opposed to like really scary and like terrifying because your mother was speaking nonsense?
It was probably even.
Yeah.
50-50.
Yeah. Wow. So there's your one-woman play, something that was off-Broadway. You've performed it. It's been happening.
Yeah, we did 12 weeks off-Broadway right across from Lion King. So my mother has four noses at the Duke Theater on 42nd Street.
Wild, wild. Well, you've always been a creative powerhouse, one kind or another, so I'm sure you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
And I should mention to our radio audience that you're looking spectacular.
Oh,
with some,
thanks.
Some really good leopard print shoes.
I wore my good shoes.
Yeah, I think radio audience appreciates it. Anyway, we're glad you're back. And I know we got more music to get to, so let's do that.
Should we do some more?
Yeah. Welcome back, Jonathan Brook.
I thought I would play for you the first song from My Mother Has Four Noses. This song is called Are You Getting This Down? Are you getting this down? Bully, it's good. Are you getting this down? Bully, you should. Cause all my pretty promises and my desperate amends couldn't put me back together again. Couldn't put me back together again. But you did. You did. So are you getting this down? These dark and crazy scenes. Are you getting this down? The laughter in between. Cause everything I wanted eluded me each time. You're the only thing I ever knew was mine. The only thing I ever knew was mine. Was your love. Your love. Thicker than wine. Are you getting this down? Bully, it's time. Cause you've never been more beautiful and never so much mine. I love you so, you saved me. Now it's time. I hope you know I'll be okay. It's time. But I'm fine.
Jonathan Brook.
Thank you very, very much.
Her latest record is called Midnight Hallelujah. Now living in Minneapolis, Jonathan Brook, great singer, guitar player, and songwriter. She'll be back at the end for a big finale.
This portion of E-Town is made possible by Zayo Group, providing communication infrastructure services to the world's leading businesses with its fiber network that powers the voice, data, and video traffic we depend on every day. You can learn more at zayo.com. That's Zayo.com. By the way, if you missed some of this week's show or you'd like to hear it again or share it with your friends, the podcast of this episode and other past E-Town shows are available for free in iTunes, Google Play, and other podcast directories. Each show is listed under the names of our visiting artists. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forrester. You're listening to E-Town. Want to say hello to our listeners who are hearing us on WWAV, The Wave, in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, on KCSN, Los Angeles, California, and our newest station, WAPS, The Summit, in Akron, Ohio. We're so happy to be back with you in Akron. And as always, if you want more information about any of our guests this week, or you'd like to see photos or videos and check out exactly what Jonathan's shoes look like, all that stuff is on the web at etown.org. Please welcome back, along with his band, David Bromberg.
We're going to get Jeff to play harmonica with us.
Same key as rehearsal? What the hell? One, two, one, two, three. Daddy ain't mad. You can relax, honey, I know it's over, but girl, I ain't mad. I'll tell you the truth, little girl, you're not the best thing this child ever had. It won't take long, mama, till you fill your bed. I know you. It won't take long, baby, till you feel your bed. But let me tell you, you're gonna be walking those streets a long, old lonesome time before you'll find a man like me to curl your toes and roll your eyes back in your hair.
David Bromberg, along with Mark Cosgrove on guitar, Slavek Yanyushenko on the bass, Nate Grower on the fiddle, and Josh Kanuski on the drums, along with special guest Dr. Jeff Tabin playing the harmonica. We've got time for one more song. I want to get everybody out on stage now, and I'd like to thank all of our guests for coming along, and I want to thank Jonathan Brook for coming out from Minneapolis, doing a great job. I want to thank our award winner, Dr. Jeff Tabin, for doing such amazing work helping people who cannot see, curing blindness around the world, in Nepal and in Africa. I want to thank David Bromberg and his band coming back to visit us here. Of course, the E-Tones and Helen Forster, thanks to all of you. We're going to do a classic Carole King song for you now. I'm Nick Forster. Hope you can be with us next week right here in E-Town.
Tonight your mind completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light of love is in your eyes. Will you still love me tomorrow?
Is this a lasting treasure or just a moment?
Produced by a donor-supported nonprofit organization with help from all of our fine staff and recorded live at E-Town Hall. Our website is etown.org, where you can comment on the show and find all kinds of information. You can also make an Each Human Award nomination there by going to our homepage and clicking on the button called Award. Other ways to reach us are through Twitter, our two Facebook pages, and the E-Town blog. The national distribution of E-Town is made possible by the support of E-Town's family of sponsors, this station, and listeners like you.
Tonight and words unspoken. You say that I'm the only one. But will my heart be broken?
Jonathan Brook, David Bromberg, Helen, all of you, thanks so much.
This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.